Good morning. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Why don't you turn to page number 120. Page 120, let's everyone stand and sing the first and the last of Victory in Jesus. Sing with me now.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins, won the victory.
Good to see everybody. Hope everybody's doing good. And still I say Merry Christmas to you. Amen. We are still in the month of December, and we have this Sunday to go, this morning to go, our last Sunday in December. And so we're still going to talk about Jesus. And anyway, we've had a good Christmas. No, let me back up. We have had the best Christmas ever as a family. My family has. With the Lord allowing my daughter, our daughter, to get her back fixed and no longer has scoliosis. She's doing great. She's ready to go back to school. She's ready to come back to church. She can't keep a good woman down. Can't keep a good gal down. But anyway, she still has a ways to go. On the 10th of January is her post-op surgery appointment, and the doctor will look at her and release her, I'm sure, and she'll be able to go back to school. And also, thank you so very much for your love, prayers, and support. And I want to welcome our visitors. If you are visiting here at Calvary today, you are our special guest, and it's so good to see you. And if this is your first time visiting with us, then you'll be given a card to fill out and put in the offering plate, if you don't mind. And when the offering plate comes by, just put it in there if you don't mind, so we'll keep a record of your visit. Just we're just so thankful for you being with us today. I got a few things to mention this morning, and then we will turn it back over to Brother Allen or whatever we have. Let's continue to remember Miss Lucille Turner as she continues to recover from her broken hip and her surgery. I hear she's had some good days and bad days, but overall she's doing good, and we praise the Lord for that. And continue to remember Miss Diane Ely as she recovers from her back surgery. And Jim Jr. has a foot surgery coming up. Well, we still got a little ways to go with him until his surgery, but it's on March 20th. So remember him. Leonard Dolores Palmer, remember them. Brother Leonard Also remember Miss Marianne Sandy, who has walking pneumonia. Just got word of that, so she's at home recovering. John, her son-in-law, is recovering from back surgery that he had. I believe that was on Thursday, if my mind serves me right. And let's see here. We have Lori Johnson, and this is your sister-in-law, Miss Vicki. Miss Vicki's sister-in-law, Northeast Georgia Medical Center, has nodules on the lungs and throat. Please remember her. Also, Hassan's mother, Gwen, is in the hospital. And so we'll remember your mother, Hassan. And but anyway, we've got a lot of people to remember. And I believe that's Carmen I see back there in the back. Good to see Miss Carmen this morning. Been a while. Good to have you. Just a brief word on your Christmas cards. If you've received, of course, the Christmas cards you have received, I just got word from Miss Vicki that those can be reusable in the Christmas boxes for next year. Okay? And so if instead of disposing, some people just keep them, but if you'd like to pass them along, however that's done, Miss Vicki could tell you a little more about that. But get those over to Miss Vicki and we'll have them ready for the shoeboxes next year. Use them in some fashion, some way. All right, well, I know. Go ahead. Oh. Yeah. Brother, you're just going to have to tough it out. Well, I tell you what, I'll pray harder if you pray harder. You want to double up on that, brother? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, me. They'll be back. They'll be back before you know it. And but they're watching right now, so we appreciate it. Let me mention this before we go any further. Today is Miss Marcia Turner's birthday, and this is Pastor Emeritus First Lady. And so not sure if she is going to tune in or not, but we just wanted to mention that it's Marcia Turner's birthday. So happy birthday, Miss Marcia. We love you and appreciate you and years of faithfulness down through the years. Let me mention this as well. We will have a baptism service soon. That date is not planned yet. But we do have a young man, Eli, Miss Christie's special friend. But he wants to get baptized. He's been saved. And I know we have a couple others, I believe, from the home. We'll orchestrate that in the new year. So remember that. That's exciting. I do want to say this. No Sunday night service tonight. No Wednesday night. This coming midweek in light of New Year's. And we're going to start fresh the first service of the new year on Sunday, January 5th. And we're going to just launch out into the deep, all nets down, not looking back. Amen. Amen. Got one more over here. Yes. God bless you. Let's remember Brother Allen. Yes. Brother. Absolutely. Brother Allen Barrett, choir director for many churches, but he was the choir director when I first got saved, started going to Floyd Road. Brother Allen Barrett, he's in the hospital. He's not doing well. And many of you remember the big singing we went to honoring Brother Allen. So remember that. And, of course, remember to take your ornament off the Calvary Remembrance Tree. If you haven't done that already, there's still some cards on the table. And I believe we're all caught up on announcements this morning. You glad you're here? Say amen. 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 We're very glad as well. I know the Lord wants to speak this morning. And please remember Brother Brian as he is away preaching in Bowden at Corinth Baptist. And in fact, please remember that church family, Pastor Gary Stewart, I believe it is, his wife passed away. I believe it's the same Corinth. I stand corrected if I'm wrong. But that's where I graduated seminary, was out there at Corinth Baptist. And Brother Johnny and Gary, all Vermin Palmer, all on the board there. So remember the dear pastor there, remember Brother Brian and everybody involved today. All right. Father, we love you today. We thank you. Lord, we thank you that we can have a little laughter in the house of God. Lord, we can poke at each other and just... But Father, we're family. We love each other. We pray for one another. And I pray today, God, that you would just have preeminence in this service, Lord. Your people have come to get a word from you. Father, we're focused on who's here this morning. God, we just thank you for what you've done in recent days in the life of many, my own personal life, God. You say in Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, Lord, you have exceeded my expectations, my family's expectations this Christmas. And Father, I know you've done the same for many. God, perhaps there's some here this morning who need a touch from you, Lord. They need for you to be real in their life, God. Perhaps they're at wit's end. Maybe their Christmas was terrible. But Father, I pray that you'll speak hope, speak life into everybody here today, those watching on Facebook, listening online. Father, we just love you today and ask that you do a mighty work. You are King. You are Lord. We love you today and we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Brother Harold said, do we not have a choir this morning? Now I'm thinking, yeah, the choir got a lot bigger. You're just standing on that side than you are on this side this morning. But just pray the Lord would be with all those that are traveling, and it's the holiday season. Some folks have taken some much-needed time off. But it is great to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. If you're visiting, you are our special guest. We thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship this morning. Last week, I know that Hot Pockets and the musicians, they played this song, but we really never got an opportunity to sing it. And it would be a shame to not sing our special favorite Christmas song, and you're saying, well, Christmas is over. Well, not in my house. We still celebrate. Amen? And I got to looking at the lyrics of this song, and I wonder, Brother Ceylon, why we don't sing it all the time. I really, just really wonder. But won't you take a hymnal, turn over to page 408. Everyone stand with me this morning. I tell you what, we're just going to sing the first and the last verse of Joy to the World. You listen and notice the words as we sing it this morning. Sing now. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. On the last verse now. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes a nation's proof. The glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders and wonders of seated. Again, thank you for being here with us today. No evening service this evening. Give you an opportunity to spend some time with your family. Also, no Wednesday night service, that being New Year's Day. And that will, too, give you some time at home, safe. I encourage you, if you can, to try and stay close to the house on Wednesday. But just enjoy some great time. The Lord's been good. Amen. And we look back over this past year and realize how good the Lord has been. And we look forward to what he might have in store for us in the upcoming year 2025. I've actually had to go ahead and write that on some things. It's going to take a while to catch on. So you'll be writing 2024, probably well into 2025. But the time is really going fast. And it has caused me to realize, especially over the past few weeks, of how blessed we truly are. Amen. And how good God has been to us. Yes, But let's ask him to be with us today. Pray for Pastor. Again, pray for those that might be traveling. And just pray the Lord would fill this place with his Holy Spirit today. Brother Don, would you lead us as we pray? I don't know about you, but I was awakened this morning very early to the storms, and they were raging, it seems, this morning. About 4 o'clock, my wife jumped up, and she said, "That's the storm warning." And there was a loud, ringing, screeching noise, and I thought, well, she could be right. She opened the door and stepped out in the hall. She said, "It's not that at all. Something's going on in the house." And I thought, oh no, fire alarm? I don't know. I went running downstairs and realized that it was our security alarm that was going off. And of course, I checked all the windows, all the doors. I mean, I'm not the smartest guy around in the block. I opened the doors and went running outside to see if anything was going on out there. But it was the security alarm that had gone off. Lightning was flashing, striking everywhere. It hit something somewhere, caused my alarm to go off. That is very loud at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I went to the panel right away and set that thing off. And but it caused me to realize how bad the storms really were outside. And there was lightning and thunder and wind blowing, leaves and branches and trees scratching and falling everywhere. There was a lot of devastation as I began to watch the news early this morning. But it caused me to realize, as I was coming to church this morning, again, just how good the Lord has been. And what we need to do is we need to ask him that he would just keep us safe till the storm passes by. You pray for him this morning. In the dark of the midnight have I oft hid my face, while the storm howls above me and there's no hiding place. May the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry and keep me safe. storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Whispered, there is no need to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by, but I know He is with me, and tomorrow I'll rise, where the storms never darken the sky. Listen to this last verse. When the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in Thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore, in that land where the tempest never comes. Lord, may I dwell with Thee when the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of Thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by.
Amen.
Empty and broken, I came back to You, a vessel unworthy and so scarred by sin, but He did not despair. He started over fashions this clay, a vessel of honor I am today, so because Jesus didn't draw the clay away.
Lord, for that, aren't you glad He hasn't thrown us away? There were some times where I felt like the Lord should throw me away, and I even felt like if I was the Lord, I'd throw me away. But thank God He doesn't throw the clay away. Praise the Lord, He keeps us safe till the storm passes by. What a blessing, what a blessing. You know, many times we say that I just don't see how they're going through what they're going through. That's because it's a certain type of grace that they're standing in that we don't need at this time. But when it's your time to go through that storm and it's my time to go through that storm, others will look in and say, I just don't see how they're going through what they're going through. And it's all because of new grace, God giving us what we need during that specific time. And so, church, God has got you. God's got you. And we will arrive safely on heaven's shores one day. Make sure you're saved and you know Jesus. You have nothing to worry about. All right. Well, it's still December. And we've only been able to share a Christmas-related message probably a few times this month. And so I want to take advantage this morning, if I could, to finish out the month of December with another look at a part of the Christmas story, Christmas-related account, and that is in Matthew chapter number 2, if you would. Matthew chapter number 2. And I want to read one verse, and that is verse number 1 of Matthew chapter number 2. We want to bow for a quick word of prayer, and then we want to try to develop some thoughts this morning and make it relevant to all of us for today and the day and time which we live. Father, we love You. We thank You. We praise You, Lord, for all things. The good, the bad, the ugly. We know You work all things together for good. Romans 8:28. And Father, if You be for us, who can be against us? God, we know You're for us this morning. There is no one, no thing, no weapon, no anything that can stand against us because You're for us. We're thankful for that. I pray, God, for the next few moments that You would give us a clear head and a very calm heart, God. Help us to lay out the things You put in our hearts, in our heart, Lord. And I pray that someone would get saved this morning. A Christian would be encouraged, and pray by the end of the service we would be different than the way we come. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Matthew chapter number 2 and verse number 1. The Bible says, Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. That's going to be our main verse this morning, our starting verse. And I want you to notice that we have a group of men, a set of men known as the wise men, and they came seeking Jesus.
This morning, with that thought in mind, I want to preach for a few moments on this subject. Wise men seek Jesus. Wise men, wise women, wise boys, wise girls seek Jesus. Not only were there wise men that sought Jesus in Bible days, but I'll say that wise men still seek Jesus in our days. May not be popular in the world or the world system. It's definitely not agreeable with the world and the world system, the doctrines and beliefs and fundamentals of the faith. But if you're going to be a wise person, if you're going to do what's right and reap the good benefits of it, then you will seek the Lord. And so wise men seek Jesus. Real men love Jesus. Real women love Jesus. Real boys and real girls love Jesus. I can remember when my brother first got saved, and my grandparents had bought this old Chevrolet Celebrity car for us to share, and it was wrecked on all four sides, the front, the back, the left, the right. Had a crack in the window or the door frame on the driver's side, and every time it rained, the car got wet on the inside. We had towels laying down. All kinds of things. Sounded like a tank going down the road. Smoked, puttered, everything. But I tell you what, if you floored that thing, it'd take off. It'd almost do a wheelie. But my brother got saved, and he bought a sticker from the Christian bookstore that said, "Real men love Jesus." Well, I wasn't saved at the time, and my brother, he got a job, and he got a different car, but not long after that, I did get saved, and I got that car, and beforehand, I had removed that sticker, but now that I got saved, I went back to the Christian bookstore, and I bought a sticker that said, "Real men love Jesus," and I put it on that car. Real men love Jesus. Real women love Jesus. And I want to say that if you want to be wise this morning, and if you want to start your new year off in the right way, seek Jesus. These wise men were wise because they sought the Lord. This morning I want to mention some things that surround this subject, some very practical things, some things that are applicable to your life and mine, relevant even today. Number one, I want you to notice the dedicated. These wise men, they were dedicated. The Bible says in verse 1, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." The east they're referring to is modern day Iraq or Saudi Arabia. And they came from afar. You see, one person said one time, you know, the wise men were really firemen because they came from afar. And I said, well, okay, I guess that'll work. but they came from the east. They came from afar. And Iraq, Saudi Arabia, and these were very dedicated men in their journey. And so they are wise men because they sought Jesus. They were wise men because they were dedicated to find where this Jesus was. They were dedicated because of the duration of their journey. From the time they saw the star to their arrival in Bethlehem was approximately 2 years. Now you say, where do you get that 2 years? Well, let me just say this. I say this every year at Christmas time, and I want to say it again. No harm, no shame to anybody that places the wise men at the manger scene. But the wise men were not at the manger scene. You see, if you go back and you read, you'll find out that the star appeared. The angel made the announcement, and we know the shepherds, they were told to go proclaim the sight that they beheld, and they went into Jerusalem, they went into Bethlehem to do so. And now we fast forward, and notice if you would, down in verse number 7. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Then if you look in verse number 16, the Bible says, Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and on all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. And so we know approximately it was at least 2 years. Why didn't he say, why didn't he go to kill 1 year olds and under, or 3 year olds and under? Because if you go back and look, it's about 2 years. And so that doesn't place the wise men around the manger scene, but now Jesus is a young child. Now Jesus is in a home with his mother and with his earthly father. But we see the dedicated here. They were on at least a 2 year journey. And think about it if you would this morning. No doubt it took great dedication to continue going after the Messiah star. No doubt there were elements and factors that would hinder them to continue all along the way. But they kept on going. Think about it in the desert times, and the wind blowing, and the sand, and the heat during the day, and the coolness of night. And we have a group of men here of astrologers and priests and kings, and they were watching at night and following that star. Don't you know that at some point in time or the other, there could have been a little doubt? Are we really doing the right thing? And the astrologer could have said, I hope I'm right. And reflecting back on the scriptures, well, the priest and all, well, we read the scriptures right. There's coming a Messiah. But we've been going, and it's been a year. It's been going on 2 years, and all the elements, all the aches and all the pains. Listen, this was a group of dedicated men. I want to say that wise men this morning seek Jesus. It's going to take some dedication on your part. Wise women seek Jesus. It's going to take, listen, every time the wind blows doesn't mean you don't go to church. Every time there's a problem in the family doesn't mean you get mad at God or stay out of church. Listen, there's going to be some elements. There's going to be some storms. There's going to be some aches. And there's going to be some pains along life's journey as you're following Jesus. But you're still wise in doing so. Amen. Wise men seek Jesus. Doesn't matter what comes up in life. God's got your back. He's got new grace. Listen, I could, on the outside of this surgery with Lily looking in, it took me, Brother Allen, 10 years to come around to the place of being ready for her to have surgery. And then the day came where she said she was ready, I was ready. But on the outside looking in, I was thinking, man, Christy and I, we've got to let Lily have this back surgery, and they're going to be straightening her spine, and they're going to put in 2 rods and 19 screws. Thinking about the recovery, thinking about her walking, the possibility of getting paralyzed. And the devil even got on my shoulder at one point and said, what if she dies on the operating table? Am I the only one who thinks about things like this? Listen. On the outside looking in, it looked real grim. But I'm here to tell you this morning, our baby girl is walking and she's talking and she's healed. She asked me, Dad, is it okay if I bend over and look up under the bed for my earbuds because they dropped? I said, please don't do that. Listen, God gives new grace, and while we're seeking Jesus, we encounter storms, we encounter aches and pains, but we are called to still follow Him. He will give new grace to do so. These wise men, they were dedicated. They came from the east. They weathered the storms of life, the aches and pains, the ups and downs, fears and doubts. Let me say this. They had a couple things to lean on while they were on their journey from the east over to Bethlehem. Number one, they had the prophecies to lean on. Look at verse number 5. And they said unto him in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, that thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Notice this as well. Well, that's verse number 5. Verse number 6, they had the prophecies, and that's what motivated them. They knew the Messiah would come. And so when times got hard on their journey, they just reflected back on those prophecies. No, we're not going in vain. The Bible declares that Jesus will be born. There will be a governor. There will be a Messiah. And listen, along their journey, they could have doubted some things and fear could have gripped their hearts, but they always went back to the scriptures where it says, and they said unto him in Bethlehem of Judah, for thus is it written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, and that shall rule my people Israel. They leaned on the scriptures. Do you know what you and I are to do on our journey while we're seeking Jesus? Lean on the scriptures. Lean on the scriptures. You feel alone this morning. The scriptures say that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You don't feel like you can overcome a sin or an obstacle in your life. The Bible says, for I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You don't feel like anything is working out for good. You feel like you've missed the Lord. Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Let us this morning on our journey seeking Jesus lean on the Scriptures. They leaned on the Word of God. But not only did they lean on the Word of God on their journey, but they leaned on each other. These were a small group of men. The Bible says in verse number 1, wise men. Wise men. Or the magi. Magi is where we get the word magician. And it's believed that these were a group of men, a teacher, a priest, an astrologer. But at any rate, it was a small group. They had each other's back. They were all gifted differently. They were on a long journey seeking Jesus. The teacher had his gift that edified. The astrologer had his gift that edified. And the priest had his gift that edified. And it was a small group of men. It was a magi. It was a small group of wise men. And they had each other's back using their gifts. You know what we're to do on this journey called life? We are to lean on one another. God has given at least one gift to every single person that belongs to Him. And if you use your gift the right way, and if I use my gift the right way, iron sharpeneth iron. And we may experience the ups and downs of life, but we're here to lean on one another. And I just want to thank you, church, for allowing my family to lean on you during our time of our daughter's surgery. The cards, the calls, the prayers. Listen, you will never know the impact you have had on our lives. We know that we are so loved, so loved. But that's what a church family does. We don't take shots at one another. We don't come to church to say, well, I'm more righteous than they are. We don't come to strut. We come to be fountains and not drains. We come to lift up one another and hold one another accountable and be an encouragement to one another. So this morning, what a blessing it is. These wise men, they had the prophecies to lean on, but then they had each other. Let me say this. I've always heard in my lifetime, if you have five good friends that will hold you accountable, you hold them accountable, that are there for you through thick and thin, you're doing good. Five good friends. If you can count the number on one hand of the number of friends that you have that are true, authentic, real, who will walk through the fire with you, who will celebrate the good times with you, you are doing good and you are blessed by God. And I want to say this. That might be man's wisdom, but I'm finding it out to be more true and true every day. That there's a lot that say they'll go to the ends of the earth with you, but when the chips are down, so to speak, there's only a few. John 6:6:6. The Bible says, and many at that time went back and followed him no more. There was a multitude following Jesus, but it was reduced to 12. Thank God for those sweet potato Christians. Those sweethearts that are there for you, to encourage you, to help you. And so the same goes for us this morning. It takes great dedication to follow Jesus from earth to heaven. But we have the scriptures and we have each other. Amen? So not only do we see the dedicated, but I want to go a step further. We see the devil. We see the devil. Now, Herod is a type of the devil. But also, Herod here is a type of the flesh. Herod was troubled over his kingship. It was being threatened, listen, over the idea of another king. It was being threatened over the idea of a Messiah, a Savior coming to town. This threat, it brought fear. It brought fear to the community because Herod was threatened. Therefore, he wanted to kill all the babies, from all the children from two and under. He had the fear of being replaced. Herod not only had the fear of being replaced, but the thought of losing the kingdom angered him. I'm going to be king. I'm king. Every child 2 years and under will die. I'm king. I'm going to be king. There was a struggle for kingship within the heart and mind of Herod. I want to say this morning, in like manner, if you are saved by the good grace of God, born again, there is a battle for kingship on the inside of you. Everyone has a Herod and Jesus. Almost said Harold. Just want to see if I got your attention, brother. Herod, there is a Herod and there is a Jesus on the inside of every one of us that are saved. Keeping it in mind, Herod is a type of the flesh. Herod is a type of the devil. Not that saved people have the devil, but you catch my drift. And there's a wrestle on the inside. Don't turn there, but you can check me later. Galatians 5:17. There's the phrase and there's the truth that talk about that there's a struggle against the flesh and the spirit. And against the spirit and the flesh. And one of these will dominate your life. One person put it this way, there are two hungry wolves on the inside of you. And whichever one you feed will dominate. The question is this morning, will you feed the spiritual man or will you feed the flesh man? And whichever one you feed the most will dominate. Listen, we have people this morning that's feeding the flesh man. And I'm not saying that everybody that's not in church this morning is feeding the flesh, but there are a lot of people that are feeding the flesh man, and because of that, they're not in church. Some of them are at the bars this morning. Some of them are buying alcohol. Some of them are doing drugs this morning. And some of them are doing all kinds of crazy things. Some of them are running around on their spouses this morning. Some of them are not being good daddies and mommies this morning. And all the list goes on and on. There is a flesh man, and all of us are capable of ruining our lives. We have to feed the spiritual man. We've got to feed the spirit man. We got to feed the good wolf, the one who wants to dominate and crush the bad wolf this morning. So there's a battle for kingship. Herod wanted to be on the throne. He didn't want Jesus to be on the throne. So the question is, will you allow Jesus to be on the throne of your heart this morning and call the shots? We see the devil, which was Herod, type of the flesh and devil. We see the dedicated. But then I want to mention a third thing as we talk about our subject, wise men seek Jesus. We see the details. The details. Notice verse number 11. There's three details about where Jesus and Mary are living at this particular place in Scripture. Verse number 11, it mentions a house. And when they, the wise men, were come into the house, emphatic statement, that's what it was. There was an emphatic statement over when Jesus was born. They laid him in a manger. There was no room for him in an inn. And so some time has passed now, and they're out of the manger scene, and they're in a house of some kind. But Jesus is not a baby. It was emphatic statement when Jesus was born, you shall find the babe lying in a manger. Now the Bible says, and when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child. Young child. Jesus is growing. Jesus is developing. But then a third thing about the details of this house, not only it wasn't a manger, Jesus wasn't a baby, but they, the wise men, didn't worship Mary. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. Him. We are not to worship Mary. We are not to call any man unless it's your earthly father, no priest. There is no mediator between God and man except the man, Christ Jesus. We're not to worship angels. We're not to worship figures. We're not to worship sports players. We're not to worship money. We're not to have anybody in Jesus' place. We are to prostrate ourselves and worship Him. They fell down and worshiped him. Not only that, but the gifts that these wise men brought. The Bible says here in verse 11, and when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We're not going to attempt to over-spiritualize anything about these gifts. We're not going to attempt to over-spiritualize anything about the Bible or embellish anything about the Bible. But let's just take a practical look at these gifts. Gold, given for a king. Frankincense was used in temple worship. Myrrh was to perform or to anoint dead bodies that would die. And so we see that these three men, they offered gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It was the very best thing that they had. And it was symbolic for this prophet and priest and king. We watched a wonderful movie the other week. The best Christmas pageant ever. Anybody ever seen that? Yeah, best Christmas pageant ever. And it was about a church putting on their their annual pageant, Christmas pageant, their annual Emmanuel. And they were putting it together, and there was a family in the community the church despised named the Herdmans. As the story, and listen, go back and watch that story. I approve. The movie, I approve. Okay? There is a wonderful, many wonderful truths about that movie. This church wanted to stay the same. They wanted the same play. They wanted the same people. They wanted the same, you know, things. And they just left the same every time. Their annual Emmanuel, really no fruit from it other than a picture on the wall each year. Guess who got the starring role in playing Mary? It was the oldest of the Herdmans, the daughter. She got the role. Everybody thought she was too rough. And the angel that said, made the announcements of the babe being born, it was one of the daughters. And she would step up and she would say, they say, okay, it's your time. She'd go, ah! And that was her announcement that Jesus was born. Ah! And then on the day of the production, the little girl, the oldest of the family, she came out and she was patting the baby and trying to birth the baby. And everybody's like, what is she doing? What is she doing? And they're whispering, isn't that, you don't think Jesus had to be birthed? Of course. And then it was time for the wise men. And I said that to say this, the wise men came in and they had a ham. They were thinking, why in the world are they bringing a ham to give to Jesus? It was gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It was gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But to the Herdmans, they were given that ham for Christmas every year. They loved that ham. They were poor. They couldn't afford to give up that ham. But just like the wise men gave their best, the Herdmans gave their best, and they laid a ham right there at Jesus' feet. What a blessing. How sweet that was, and how touching and meaningful that was. And to make a long story short, the whole church stood up. It was a standing ovation. It was the best pageant ever. Let me ask you a question this morning. What did you give to Jesus this year? Did you give to him, you know, what's expected? Oh, I went to the Christmas service. Or did you give him your best? Did you give him what's expected? Or did you give him your best? Did you give Jesus your ham? Brother Brian last Sunday morning talked about giving Jesus cookies. I'm talking about giving Jesus hams. Did you give Jesus a cookie this year? Did you give Jesus a ham this year? We need to give him our best if we want different results. The definition of insanity is doing the very same thing over and over and over, but expecting a different result. Listen, friend of mine, your life will never change unless you give it to Jesus. Amen. Jesus wants his cookies and hams this morning. And so there's the details. Let me mention something else, and I'm through. The departure. Look at verse number 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. The wise men did. They sought Jesus. They came to Bethlehem one way. But they went home another way. Now, going home, it might have been the longer way. If they went this way to Bethlehem, 2 years, it might have taken 3 years to get back. It might have taken 4 years to get back. It might have taken less time. I don't know. But they met Jesus, and their departure was different. We come to church 3 times a week plus. We have devotions at home. We think and meditate upon the Lord and the ways of God. Are you being changed? If you are not being changed, there's something wrong. Nobody's perfect. And I probably say that a little more than I should. But nobody is perfect. But at the same day, at the same time, if we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, we ought to be changed into the image of Christ little by little by little. If I'm no closer to Jesus today than I was this time last year, I'm backslid. Listen, it's going to take some dedication. It's not just going to happen. You know, we sit under great Sunday school teachers, and we have a great choir director, and people in the sound room, and, you know, all these positions are filled, and we're like, wow, they do such a great job. Maybe it's because they spent time with Jesus. You know what my prayer is for me in 2025? Is that I spend more time with Jesus. I want to spend more time with Jesus. I want to give, not that anything new can be told from His Word, but I'm talking about something fresh, hot from heaven, every service. I want your attention by the power of the Holy Spirit, every service, even on Wednesday nights. I'm praying for a closer walk with Jesus. Are you praying for a closer walk with Jesus as they come this morning? I just want to say that they left a different way. Do you have a hurt this morning? Do you have a habit? Do you have a hang up? Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Listen, I'm smart. I'm not that smart, but what little bit I do know, I know real good, so I have some smarts. And I know that there is a law of sowing and reaping, and you can do things one way your whole life and want everything to change and be over and everybody forgive you and you move on. A lot of times it don't happen that way. Sometimes it takes time. But at least you're heading in the right direction. You're leaving December and starting January in a different way. God wants to take you further than you can go within yourselves. That's the message this morning. Simply this: wise men seek Jesus. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you. We praise you. I pray that something was said that would be a help. I pray your church was encouraged. We tried to do it all. This was the message we feel you've laid upon our hearts, God. And I pray that you'd move during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. If you need to come, come on the first verse. Nobody pointing, nobody laughing. We're all mature adults in here, young people and all. Let's do business with the Lord.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him.
Some are coming. You need to come this morning. Thank God for Jesus, and thank God for our church family. Don't let anyone pray alone in the altar. If you see somebody that's praying alone, you come and pray with them. Would you be part of the altar team? That's why we're here. Singing as these are praying, you come on down. Start in the new direction before the new year. Somebody said, well, I don't do New Year's resolutions. Don't let it be a resolution, let it be a resolve. You're done. You're done. And I would rather try and fail than not try at all. And I found out people that make excuses for not doing anything new or even having any resolve, they're just afraid to fail. At least you would fail trying. to come, you come. Anybody else? God's been good to us. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. Don't presume on the mercy of God. Still playing, Alan's still getting up here with us. I want to open the doors of the church. I don't know, you may be visiting with us and you may feel like this is your church home, whatever the case is. I haven't done this in a long time, and shame on me for not doing so, but you just never know. And so at this time, we're going to sing another verse, play another stanza, whatever, and the doors of the church are open. If you feel like this is where God will have you to be a member, Calvary Baptist Church, why don't you just come on down and meet me in the altar? We won't make a show out of it. We'll just talk for a little bit.
All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing
help us sing.
I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender.
Amen. That'd be enough singing. Thank you, guys. Thank you for coming this morning. And I hope you had a great Christmas. If not, this is the last Sunday in December. Make it great. Make it great. All right. Well, we appreciate you being here. And again, we are going to omit the services tonight. A lot of people are gone today and will be gone tonight. This will give you a bit more time, like Brother Allen said, just to be with your families. And then Wednesday is New Year's. We're going to omit that service as well. And then we're going to start back fresh next Sunday morning. So the next time we see you will be next Sunday morning and then next Sunday night. Two good, strong services. Plan on having everybody back, and good, strong singing and preaching. Looking forward for God to do great things. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let me just say this while I'm on the subject. We will get started with some fundraisers soon. We have a couple more projects we want to do. And so we're excited about that. Outreach will be started up in a couple months. And we have some new ideas for that. So we're not slowing down, church. Not slowing down. We want to keep on going. All right. We love you. And we'll be dismissing a word of prayer. Brother Ceylon, would you close us out?